Happy Sabbath. No. I mean, good evening, disciples. Are you ready to do some Bible study and dig some more into God's plan for your life on this Wednesday evening? Okay, like I said before, I never make mistakes. Okay, remember the Ellen White quote that we were been memorizing? Okay, do you remember it? Now that I looked it up, I remember it exactly. Every true disciple is born into the kingdom of God as a missionary. Is it possible to be a Christian and not be a disciple? Is it possible to go to heaven without first being a missionary? I have a yes and a no. Okay, do you remember John 15? What's in John 15? What is the parable in John 15? Sorry, the vine. I am the vine, says Jesus, the trunk, and you are the branches. Anyone in me that does not bear fruit is what? Is cut off. The one that bears fruit is purged. What does purge mean? Prune, so that he bears more fruit. But the one that does not bear fruit is cut off and burned. That doesn't sound like being saved. So God's plan for us is to produce fruit. Okay? What are we designed for? What are we created for? That, and give me a text. What are we created for? What is it that we are created to do? Yes? That's part of it. But specifically, it's in Paul. We are created for... Wow! Well, yes. Good works! We are created... For, what's that again?
Good works.
Now, I have to say that lately, good works has gotten a bad rap. You know, because you talk about good works and you think he's a legalist. You know, I'm saved by faith. So how does good works get in there? If I'm saved by faith, why do I need good works to get to heaven? That doesn't make sense. These guys, yeah, go to the front. Oh, you're already in the front of the class. Okay, did you hear what they said? Your works, say it again, prove your faith. Your works are a working out of your faith. Your works are a working out of an inner principle that you cannot do. You cannot do the kind of works that are good. I cannot do the kind of works that are good. As a matter of fact, you guys may think that I'm super spiritual because I'm up here and I'm wearing a tie and I'm talking about Bible stuff. But I'm no more spiritual than this lump of wood. In fact, I think this lump of wood is probably more spiritual than I am. So what's the difference? Well, when we're wanting to find out, and last night, yesterday, we talked about being a missionary. And I know a lot of people say, I want to be. Sometimes they have youth conferences and hundreds of people come forward and pledge themselves to be missionaries. And then guess how many go? Like maybe one. So what happens? What happens? I think the key is that we do not have it, and we have to realize this, that we do not have it in ourselves to do anything spiritual. Being a missionary is a spiritual thing. I want you to look up John 4:24 and tell me what you find there as far as the Spirit. Okay? Somebody just read that out. God is a spirit. So that we that worship him must worship him in our spirit and in truth. So this isn't just like an external thing that we do. Okay? It's a heart thing. It's a deep thing. And it's a spiritual thing. Now, if I'm carnal, that means that I'm like as spiritual as this piece of wood, then how am I going to do spiritual activities? How am I going to produce spiritual fruit if I'm not spiritual at all? How will that work? Anybody have any ideas? With God, all things are possible? Yes. Faith? Absolutely. Faith in God, Jesus Christ. Okay. Who is our example? Yes. If you're not spiritual, you're not going to do anything spiritual. That is absolutely true. If you're not spiritual, you're not going to do anything spiritual. You're not going to produce anything that is spiritual. So how in the world can a lump of wood like me, oh, that's my name. How can somebody like me, I hadn't even thought of that. That was not planned, okay? Apologize. How can an unspiritual person like me produce spiritual fruit? How does that work? All right. Who's our example? Jesus Christ. So we should look to him to find out how this works. Okay? Can anybody look up in their concordance and find where Jesus explains how he does the works? Okay? If you have a concordance, look and find out how Jesus does the works. And while you're looking for that, I want to give you another little thing to memorize. Would any of you like 2020 vision? You like 2020 vision? Spiritual 2020 vision so that you can see clearly into your future. Okay? 2020 vision. If you like 2020 vision, go to 2 Chronicles 20:20, second half, and read what it says there. Okay, some of you are still looking for that, how Jesus did the works. Find 2 Chronicles 20:20. Did you get it? Second half. Did you find it? Not yet? You're in the concordance. Good, good, good. We need that. 2 Chronicles 20:20, second half. You have it, young man? Yeah? You want to read it? No, just the second half. No? Okay, yes.
Believe in the Lord your God, so shall ye be established. Believe his prophets, so shall ye prosper.
Okay, believe the Lord your God, so shall ye be established. Believe his prophets, so shall ye prosper. That's the key. That's the key right there. Okay, did anybody find out how Jesus did his works, the works that he did on this earth?
John 5:17 says,
okay.
But Jesus answered them, my Father worketh hitherto and I work. So I'm guessing that means that, you know, God works and he works for God.
Yep. Yep. Okay, let's, since we're running short on time, let's go to John 14, verse 10. John 14, verse 10. Please look that up, John 14, verse 10, because this, what I'm sharing with you tonight is incredibly, incredibly important. This is like the secret and the key to being a missionary and to moving into heaven eventually, okay? This is the key. So you've got to concentrate. You've got to think about this. You've got to really focus and make sure you catch this one key. Okay? What does Jesus say there? Go ahead.
Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me.
Yes.
Or else believe me for the very work's sake.
Did you read the rest of it? I think that's okay. 14:10. Okay.
Believest thou not that I am in the Father and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwells in me, he doeth the works.
Okay, who does the works?
The Father
that dwelled in Jesus. Are you letting that speak to you? So, if Jesus let the Father do the works through him, are you getting this? Are you hearing this? This is really important. Please hear this. If you get nothing else this entire camp meeting, hear this one thing. Who did the works through Christ? The Father. So who will do the works through you? Yes, the Father. So it's not me doing the works. It's me allowing Christ to do the work through me and in me. And so when Christ comes to dwell in me, when I allow him, remember it says, let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus. Let his mind be in you. And what does his mind have? His mind has the heart of a missionary, of somebody that cares for other people. You know, in my own heart, I couldn't care less about those 60,000 people that died since the last time we met. I've never seen them. They don't bother me. They don't get in my face. But Jesus cares about them. And as long as he is not dwelling in me, I'm not going to care. I don't have the capacity to care about them. But when Christ comes into me and I allow his mind to be in my mind, in me, then his caring, his heart starts to work itself out through me. And I start doing actions that show that I care. Are you catching this? In other words, what I'm saying is you cannot be a missionary. You can't be a missionary, but Christ can be a missionary through you. That's good news, isn't it? That's incredibly exciting news. And when you minister to others, it's not you ministering to them. It's not you coming up with the right words to say. It's you allowing Christ to minister to them through you. Does that make sense? Well, how does that work in a practical way? Okay. Going through my life on a day-to-day basis, I got all these things on my mind, my kids, my job, my future, my past, all the things that are kind of discouraging me and getting me down. And I'm like, Lord, you feel like you're the other side of the lake. You're like so far away, I don't even know if you're there. But as we remembered, as we learned a couple nights ago, Jesus is as close as our thoughts. He's that close to us. So he knows exactly what we are going through. And he came and he dwelt in sinful flesh, and he was not tainted by it. And so he wants to dwell in me. And so therefore, I can say, Lord, in myself, I cannot get myself out of this discouragement. I cannot bring myself into a more spiritual state. But I want to give you the opportunity. I give you permission to come and do something in my mind, to turn my thoughts, to plant a seed, do something in my mind where my thoughts become elevated out of this world and into a heavenly atmosphere. Does that make sense to you? Have you ever experienced that? I think some of you have, but what we're going to do is a campus-wide test. Okay? God says, prove me. Okay? Test me. Taste of me. And I don't know what he's going to do, but I know what he's done in my life, and I know what he can do in all of our lives. I'd like to challenge each one of you to say, Lord, I give you permission in the next 24 hours to speak into my mind and to put thoughts in my mind, to reveal yourself to my mind in a way that I know you're doing this and not me. I challenge you to try God, because what we're talking about is a God that's not just a Bible, and it's not just words on a page. He's a living being, and he's active. He's more active than you are. He's more creative than I am, than you are. And he wants to work in your life in a way that brings you out of just thinking about what am I doing tomorrow, what am I doing next year, how am I going to survive, all this stuff. He wants to bring you out of that. It's like a cup of, if you have a cup, what's the best way? It's an empty cup, just has air in it. What's the best way to get the air out of that cup? Fill it up with something else. Exactly. And God wants to get the sin and the worldliness out of your life by filling your cup with Himself, His Holy Spirit. And God can do this. And it says, let this mind be in you. It doesn't say, try to force this mind to get into you. It says, let this mind be in you. God, we pursue God. God says, you will find me if you seek for me with all your heart, all your soul, all your passion, everything you have, and you put everything in my hands, you will find me. But he also pursues us. He seeks us. He wants to live in your heart. That blows me away. Sometimes I don't even want to live in my heart because I see what's there, but he wants to live in your heart. So say, look, God, I give you permission to live in my mind, to come into my heart, mind, and start doing something in my mind that is foreign to me, like care about others, like do something nice for my counselor, do something nice for my sloppy roommate, tent mate, do something nice for somebody that they won't even know I did it for them. And give me a heart of humility that I can see you as I do this, that I'm doing this for you. But just do something, God, that I can see you working in my life. Not because we doubt, because we have faith. And the only way we're going to move into a spiritual mode of life, the only way we're going to be able to follow the Lamb whithersoever he goes, because the Lamb is spiritual. Okay? The only way we're going to do that is if Christ comes in and starts doing it through us. We're not going to care about anybody. We're not going to care about God's kingdom unless he cares for it through us. So we don't have the capacity. So I want to challenge. I want to see who will take this challenge. And if you want to take this challenge, it's not just a matter of raising your hand or standing up. This is between you and God. Nobody can break the connection between you and God. Nobody. And nobody can establish that connection between you and God. It's between you and God alone. And if there's something that you need to confess, if there's some, I don't like this guy, or I don't like this girl, or, you know, a root of bitterness, or there's some kind of unforgiveness, or something you're holding on to, you know, I want to be pretty, or I want to have a good car, I want to have a good career, something like that, surrender it into God's hands. And then say, Lord, I give you permission. Even if you can't surrender it, say, Lord, I give you permission to give me the mind that is willing to surrender it. Not just willing, but wants to surrender it, because there's so much more up there. So I'm not going to ask for a show of hands. Actually, I am. I'm going to ask for those that want to make this commitment, that promise to make this commitment, or this, not commitment, but this request to God tonight. Please stand. Okay. Okay, Lord, let's close our eyes. Lord, you've seen what we want to do. Father, we want your spirit in your mind to come in us, in our mind. And we claim the promise that says that it is he that worketh in us to do of his good will. Father, it is you that works in our minds, in our hearts and our minds. Father, our flesh doesn't change. We will still have an unspiritual nature, a carnal nature that is enmity towards you. But you say that you want to live in us. Father, we want to test you in this coming day. Father, we look to you and we look to you alone. We open our hearts and our minds to you, and we know that you can do this if you want to. So we just leave it in your hands, Father. Thank you for being our God and for loving us no matter what. In Jesus' name, amen.